tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another fantastic episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss a noble personality in Islam. And he is none other than Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. A biographical sketch of Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. With regards to his noble personality, alhamdulillah, to discuss it, we have in the studio our esteemed colleague, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Let's welcome him with the beautiful greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sayyidi?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing fine, Masaf. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah. This is a great opportunity for us to actually consume Islamic content and
Definitely.
Learn about our beautiful deen of Islam by mentioning the biographies of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually, in itself, is a great blessing.
Subhanallah.
As the narration says, when we mention the pious predecessors, the mercy of Allah descends. Subhanallah. And keeping in view this teaching of Islam, alhamdulillah, we are mentioning a great personality in Islam, who is a great reviver, subhanallah, a great scholar of hadith. And he is actually a foundational figure in terms of ilmul hadith in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, alhamdulillah. So he holds great importance at the time of trials and tribulations, at the time of uncertainties. He, alhamdulillah, guided the Muslim Ummah.
Subhanallah.
So yes, we owe it to him, because as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, "Man lam yashkurin nas, lam yashkurillah." He who is not grateful to people, he is not grateful to Allah. Allahu Akbar. And following into the command of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are mentioning greatness and the lofty station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon this great scholar of Islam. We know him as Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala. He is the teacher of many great akabirin, subhanallah, and the sanad of hadith of many great scholars reaches up to him. Allahu Akbar. So he revolutionized the knowledge of hadith as far as the Indo-Pak subcontinent is concerned.
Right.
In various other parts of the world, there are other scholars who, alhamdulillah, took the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and made it widespread across the globe. And when it comes to the Indo-Pak subcontinent, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala played a key role in propagation of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of Islam in general, aqaid even. You know, he corrected people's beliefs in Islam, alhamdulillah. And he also gave us the true understanding of the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And mashallah, before we dive deep into our today's topic of discussion, let's inshallah azza wa jal first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be that person who would have recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Sayyidi, when it comes to the personality of Shaykh Muhaqqiq ala al-Itlaq, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, they are great details, but we want to obviously highlight some of the key highlights of his life, alhamdulillah, when, as we learn in his biography, that he was first of all an ardent learner of the deen of Islam, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And when it comes to his a learning phase when he started learning by his father, subhanAllah. His father was also a great scholar of Islam. And he actually took care of the studies of Shaykh Abdul Ahmad. His father actually taught him in a few years' time what he had learned throughout his lifetime. SubhanAllah. That is how much he was concerned about his education.
Right.
And according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the best gift that a child can receive from his father is good upbringing. Mm. SubhanAllah. And mashallah, his father really fulfilled the right. Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah. He taught him the Quran. And Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi, rahmatullah ta'ala, he himself says that, you know, like how children learn Quran.
Right.
Like how we learn Alif, Ba, Ta, Sa, alphabet, we learn the alphabets first, then to join them together, and then so on. And it takes a long time.
Right.
Right. For us to get through that phase. But Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi, rahmatullah ta'ala, his learning was rapid. SubhanAllah. He was given this drive. You know, some people have the drive for certain things.
Right.
He had the drive to consume ilm-e-deen, subhanAllah, to internalize ilm-e-deen, to internalize the message of Quran, subhanAllah. And he started learning the Holy Quran just as how we read. Let's say, for example, you teach children, Alhamdulillahi right. Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Like that, he learned it. And mashallah, it had such a profound impact on his personality that he was so driven to by the zeal of acquiring Islamic knowledge. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah.
Look at his burning passion, you know, for learning the knowledge of deen, for acquiring knowledge. And this is something that we see in all our pious predecessors, their burning passion to always gain knowledge, because seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. SubhanAllah. And even in the childhood of Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah, he says that, I do not know what playing is. I do not know what comfort is. I do not know what amusement is, and all of these things. He says that I do not know what they are. This shows that he made complete good use of his time. And this is something for us, you know, to take a lesson from our pious predecessors, you know, how they lived their life, how they utilized their time. They did not waste their time. And, you know, most people, time is something that is taken for granted.
Allah.
And imagine, you know, the time that we are living in now, we have so much of technology that, you know, we are living in a so advanced world where so many things can be done without even putting in much effort. But back then, in those years, in the era of Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah, technology was not so advanced.
Yes.
And yet the amount of production that he has produced in writing books, in teaching hadith, usul hadith, all of these things for a span of 94 years that he lived for. In that span, he completed so much of aspects of deen. And today, we have the same amount of time.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
You know, that difference is there between that era and this era. But still, it should not stop us from always acquiring knowledge of deen.
Allah.
Because nowadays, alhamdulillah, with our cell phones, we can go onto the site of Dawat-e-Islami and read a book just by sitting at home. Back then, it was not an easy thing to do. You know, it was quite difficult back then. So this is also something for us to be grateful for, and also to utilize our time in the correct way.
Definitely, Sayyidi. And Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala, as you have mentioned, he made proper use of his time.
Right.
As Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala says, that time is sword.
Mm-hmm.
Either you cut it or it cuts you.
Right.
Right. So utilize it properly before it destroys you. Mm-hmm. Meaning time just slips away. Mm-hmm. We're not using it in a proper manner. And Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, the way he utilized his time, subhanAllah. It is mentioned in his biography that if you look at the lifestyle of Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali,
right.
After studying his biography and his schedule, you would think that there was no time in his life that one could say that, you know, he could have done more in this time.
Allah.
He never left that gap.
So true.
SubhanAllah. Similarly, the great follower of Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, also made sure that he made each second count.
Yes. Yes.
Allah.
And also, you know, knowledge, as they say, knowledge is power. If you have knowledge, you have beneficial education, then this is a person's empowerment,
yes,
to empower others as well. And knowledge is that, you know, seeking knowledge of deen is such that, as per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angels place their wings under the feet of that person who is acquiring knowledge of deen.
SubhanAllah.
The fish in the ocean seek forgiveness for that person who is acquiring knowledge of deen. So there are so many, you know, rewards for acquiring this knowledge. So definitely we have to make use of this time.
SubhanAllah. Sayyidi Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, we were just discussing as to how quick he was, how quick of a learner he was. SubhanAllah. Right. And he had this enthusiasm at the same time. Now, he was born in the year 958 Hijri. Right? After that, very quickly, within the span of 15 to 16 years, he learned major works that is taught in Dars-e-Nizami, as we say, meaning the Alim course, proper Alim course, where he studied all those books that were necessary to be studied. He studied some books of Farsi as well. And mashallah, after that, he continued in his studies. And in this way, he continued progressing on this path of knowledge.
And also, these are quite difficult subjects to study.
Alhamdulillah. Sayyidi, there is one turning point that I would like to emphasize on.
Jee.
That his father played a key role in teaching him all these Islamic sciences. SubhanAllah. What he had learned over the period of a lifetime, he made sure that he passed this knowledge on by the time Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala reached the age of 18. SubhanAllah. And here at the age of 18, we are still matriculating and so on. But here the father made sure. And Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he actually attributes his knowledge to his father.
Allah.
And he says that the true key role behind my success is my father.
Allah, Allah.
SubhanAllah. In teaching ilm-e-deen, in teaching the Holy Quran, to learn, to read, to write, Allahu Akbar, all was taken care of mainly by his father.
That just shows, Munasab, that, you know, the first institute, the first university or school of a child is in the home. You know, by the child's parents. You know, if the parents have knowledge of deen, right, and if the parents, their conduct is good, then definitely they would want the same for their child.
Yes.
And they would pass down what they have towards their child. So
yes,
what we learn, you know, from the beautiful biography of Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi is that upbringing is very important. Giving tarbiyah to one's child is very important, like how the father of Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi rahimahullah, the tarbiyah and upbringing that he gave him.
So in such a short span of time, I mean, we have children that can't even finish their nazira by looking and reading the Holy Quran in 1 year. And here, Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlawi rahmatullah, he finishes the memorization of the entire Quran to a year.
Right.
SubhanAllah. And this is an achievement that
Absolutely.
We can truly call it an achievement.
Yes.
And when it comes to, you know, reading, when it comes to reading the Holy Quran, we know how quick he was. But when it came to writing, that is another field altogether.
Yes.
Children, it takes them quite some time to even hold a pen properly.
Right.
It takes him a few days to hold a pen or pencil properly, subhanAllah. And here, he learns how to write properly within a month.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. Within a month. And his father made sure. SubhanAllah.
Allah, Allah.
You know, it was his father's wish that whatever I have, the knowledge that I have in my heart, I must pass it on to my child.
Allahu Akbar.
And it should actually motivate us as father figure.
Definitely.
You know, we have children, alhamdulillah, that we should also take inspiration from here. It shouldn't be the case where the bottom of the candle must remain dark.
Mm.
We shouldn't set an example like that.
Yes.
That we are, you know, benefiting others from what we know, whereas our own children,
right,
they remain ignorant. That is a very focal point that is proven from the life of Sheikh Abdullah Muhaddis Zailwi rahmatullah, and the way his father made sure that whatever I know, I pass it on to my child.
That just shows, you know, his blessed father played a very important and major role in his life.
And Sayyidi, there have been many great scholars. If we look into their biography, into the sketch of their life,
right,
we find that their fathers played a key role.
Uh-huh.
Look at the life of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Who was his teacher?
His beloved father.
His beloved father, Allama Naqi Likha Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. The children of Ala Hazrat, Mufti Azam Hind, Allama Hamid Raza Khan, Hujjatul Islam. Who was their teacher?
Their father,
subhanAllah. Despite their busy schedule, they found time to make sure that their bringing is proper,
yes,
subhanAllah. And likewise, the Buzurganadin, they would make sure that my children, they must shine bright, subhanAllah.
Yes.
The father of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, that his name was Muhammad, his father's name was Muhammad, his grandfather's name was Muhammad, subhanAllah. That was their devotion to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And that is so beautiful, Munasab, you know, and this, it just shows that parents should not wait, you know, for their child to grow to a certain age and then send them towards the madrasa. You know, the parents, of course, they must be of that caliber to educate their children. You know, so first, they must seek knowledge of deen. They must, you know, learn how to recite the Quran.
At least the basics.
At least the basics. Yeah, the fundamentals of deen. And this, if they have it in them, they can pass it down to their child. And when their child grows up one day, then they will see in their old age, that same child, that child will take care of his parents.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Truly, this is the way it's supposed to be. Let's hope that it sticks, you know. And we just don't turn a blind eye, that, you know,
mm-hmm,
one of those things. No, this is of importance.
Yes.
Because why do you go and earn your livelihood? To give your children a good life.
Yeah.
Right. To provide for them food, shelter, education. Education is one of the main goals.
Yes.
And at the age of just 12 or 13, at teenage,
mm-hmm,
teenage, when children are playing fools,
yeah,
you know, this is the age.
Right.
And at this age, his father is teaching Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala li Sharh Shamsiyah, Sharhul Aqaid, at the age of 12 and 13.
Allah.
SubhanAllah, such great books. And these are not easy to understand.
Yes.
Sharhul Aqaid, there are so many philosophical concepts that,
yes,
you need to understand in order to truly grasp the concepts mentioned in the book. And mashallah, he's teaching him these books at the age of 12 and 13. At the age of 15 and 16, another tough work of Allama Saaduddin Taftazani rahmatullahi ta'ala li, Mukhtasarul Mahani and Mutawwal. He's teaching him that, subhanAllah. And at the age of 18, he became a complete scholar, subhanAllah. He qualified at the age of 18.
SubhanAllah.
And it is mentioned in his biography that at the age of 18, he completed his studies in all faculties. SubhanAllah. And he became an authority. And after that, alhamdulillah, he started teaching Ilm-e-Deen as well.
Right.
And by the time he reached the age of 20, and after that, he, alhamdulillah, the zeal and the enthusiasm, he still had the drive to learn further.
Mm, 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 mm.
He still had the drive to learn further, to further his studies.
Allah.
And to quench this thirst, because there was nobody in the Indo-Pak subcontinent on that level who could really inspire him. And therefore, he decided to go on the pilgrimage to Makkah Mukarramah and make the ziyarat of Medina Munawwara, subhanallah. When he embarked on this journey, mashallah, he had the enthusiasm, the burning desire to visit the Rawla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he goes and he learns ilm-e-deen at the feet of his true teacher, who really taught him the knowledge of hadith, tasawwuf, and mashallah, many other sciences that he taught him, and made him into the person that we know and we recognize, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi, Shaykh Abdul Wahab Muttaqi was his name, subhanallah. He was an authority in the knowledge of, in the field of hadith and other sciences, Islamic sciences. And Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh then went and learned from the best.
Allah, subhanallah. Allah, subhanallah.
So Sayyidi, through his journey that he had undertaken, as you've mentioned, that the one who undertakes the journey in the path of knowledge, the angels spread their wings under their feet, subhanallah. And he is in the blessing of Allah until he returns home, subhanallah. And for real scholars, even the fish in the ocean, they make dua for them.
Allah,
subhanallah. So here was such a great scholar of his stature, and he's still embarking on the journey of furthering his studies. Wow. Now here, something crucial happens, right? Okay. Usually when we see a trend among the colleagues, let's say, and once they qualify from an institute, from Jamia, let's say, or from any Darul Uloom, that we have in South Africa, we call the Jamia Darul Uloom.
Right.
And once we qualify, let's say we have studied maybe 6 years or 8 years Alim course, 9 years, some study for 10 years. And perhaps maybe they have done one or two years of Takhassus fil Fiqh or Takhassus fil Lughat al Arabiya and other courses that they top it up with. And after that, a person now stops studying. He didn't have this kind of attitude. Subhanallah, he had the aptitude of learning.
He further still wanted to go further on.
Alhamdulillah. So this actually took him on this journey. And mashallah, he then went and became the true Shaykh that we know and recognize.
Subhanallah.
So Sayyidi, inshallah, if you could share some of his experiences on this beautiful journey to Haramain Sharifain and his learning experience perhaps.
Subhanallah, Masab. You know, as you were mentioning that he went to the beautiful cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina al-Munawwara, and he stayed there for some time acquiring a knowledge of deen in different faculties. And at that time, you know, when he entered, there was a lot of fitna going on, and basically it was a very difficult era. And at that time he went into Hindustan to propagate Islam.
Alhamdulillah, truly remarkable, Sayyidi, this achievement of his. And while he was on this journey to Haramain Sharifain, and his time that he spent there, alhamdulillah, it was a key moment in his life that he really treasures it, and he speaks about it in his writings, alhamdulillah. He says about his journey to the Mubarak Haram of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Medina Munawwara. And he says, and he was driven with so much of love, respect and reverence for the beautiful city of Medina Munawwara. He knows this is the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he knows the etiquettes of entering the city. He says that when he would enter the city of Medina, he would enter barefoot.
Allah.
He would enter barefoot out of respect and reverence for the city of Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah. That was his state. And he says, Dar Medina Barhana Pa Gardide.
Allah.
Meaning he would go barefoot, no sandals. And Sayyidi Allah, the same thing he hints towards. He says, Haram ki zami aur qadam rakke chalna, are sar ka mauqa hai ho jane wale. Subhanallah. So they drank from the same cup of love, we suppose. Alhamdulillah, Shaykh Abdullah Muaddis Delvi, Allah Ta'ala Ali. They both were great Ashika Rasul. There's something common between the two, alhamdulillah. And he then was blessed with the ziyarat of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you've mentioned, he had given him the mission for his life and glad tidings, subhanAllah. In Zadul Muttaqeen, Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that he had seen the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 4 times in his dreams.
Allahu Akbar.
And in the year 998 Hijri, he saw the dream in Makkah Mukarramah. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting on a throne and he is giving the dars of hadith. Rasulullah is giving the dars of hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that the light that was emanating from the mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, I have never seen anything brighter than that. Allah, subhanallah. And then he says, in the same night, I also saw the dream where Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who is preparing his army to combat the enemies of deen. Subhanallah. And then he says, this became the interpretation for him that my mission is to, first is to propagate the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to teach it. And the second is to fight against the enemies of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So alhamdulillah, with this mission, he also had the great love for Sayyidina Wasipak rahmatullahi ta'ala. And inshallah, we'll hold on for that until we go and listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, composed by another great mujaddid, subhanallah. And he is none other than Huzur Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Ni'matein baatta jis samt wo zishan gaya by our esteemed Rukneshura, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Attari, Hafizahullah, inshallah. And then there is a nasiha as well. So stay tuned with Madani channel until we return. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, ya Habiballah, Nemate baatta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya, saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam daan gaya, le khabar jald ke ki taraf dhyan gaya, le khabar jald ke ghairon ki taraf dhyan gaya, mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya, mere maula mere aqa tere qurban gaya, ne'matein baantta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya, saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam daan gaya, aah wo aankh ke naakam tamanna hi rahi, aah wo aankh ke naakam tamanna hi rahi, haaye wo dil jo tere dar se purar maan gaya, haaye wo dil jo tere dar se purar maan gaya, ne'matein baantta jis samt wo zeeshaan gaya saath hi munshiye rahmat ka kalam da سے معمور رہا دل ہے وہ دل جو تیری یاد سے معمور رہا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا سر ہے وہ سر جو تیرے قدموں پہ قربان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام انہیں جانا انہیں مانا نہ رکھا غیر سے کام للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا للہ الحمد میں دنیا سے مسلمان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگ ان سے آج لے ان کی پناہ آج مدد مانگ ان سے پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا پھر نہ مانیں گے قیامت میں اگر مان گیا نعمتیں بانٹتا جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے جان و دل ہوش و خرد سب تو مدینے پہنچے تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا تم نہیں چلتے رضا سا راتو سامان گیا نعمتیں بانٹ جس سمت وہ ذیشان گیا ساتھ ہی منشی رحمت کا قلم دان گیا یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ
When we look out there, we see more and more people suffering because of illnesses, sicknesses, diseases, chronic problems, obesity, which is on the rise. And one of the main reasons for this is the stomach. When the stomach is not in order, the body is not in order. Many of us, we don't eat whole foods and wholesome foods. Meaning foods that are not processed, foods that don't have these additives in there. Those foods which are ultra processed are no good for our bodies. They don't have nutrients. It's just the taste is on the tongue. And when it's gone down, it's nothing. It causes damage actually. These soda drinks, cool drinks, junk foods, processed foods, all of these things. These snacks like chocolates and cakes and biscuits and chips and fried chips, they may taste nice, but it's not good for us. It's not healthy. Rather substitute those snacks with peanuts, with dried fruits, and get our children used to this. Yes, of course, if somebody has an allergy, they should stay away from peanuts, but dried fruits is a wonderful substitute for all those other junk foods out there that are considered as snacks. Eat wholesome, healthy, whole foods. Make sure that we try less to cook in oil and more towards baking and grilling options as well. Don't lead a sedentary lifestyle. If you're sitting too long in one place, it's not good for your body, not good for your mind. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Ani advises us that try to walk a minimum of 45 minutes every day. The first 15 minutes should be a brisk walk, a fast walk at a fast pace. The next 15 at your normal casual pace and then 15 minutes again for a brisk walk at a fast pace. And whilst you are walking, have your tasbih, have your counter and make dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whilst walking, recite Durud-e-Pak, Istighfar. Recite the glorious Qur'an, whatever you memorized of it. So you're benefiting yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually as well. Try not to eat before sleeping. This also has an adverse and negative effect on the body. Try to make sure that whenever we are doing these kind of physical exercises, like the walking, make good intentions before eating something healthy, make good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm eating this or I'm doing this exercise in order to gain good health, strength in my body so I can worship you, Ya Allah. I can make your ibadat, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal. So do it the proper way. Eat proper. Try to include fish if possible. Omega 3 is loaded in fish. Even fatty fish as well is good for our body. We need to look after our eyes, our hearing. We need to look after our minds, our brains, our bodies. Because this, our body, belongs to who? Belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Khaliq, our Creator, to whom we are going to return sooner than we realize. So it's an amana, it's a trust given to us. We don't own it. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are going to be questioned of how we treated this blessing and this trust from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look after yourself and try to always be the best version of yourself. Build your social relationships and maintain healthy relationships. You will live a healthier life, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. Be punctual with your salahs. Salahs also, subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla. We don't do it for exercise, but those movements also aid in the proper functioning of the body and
good health as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah. We're listening to the beautiful kalam of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, recited by yet another great Aashiq Rasul, Rukne Shura Haji Maulana Abdul Habib Attari Hafizahullah, and then followed by a beautiful nasiha by our Maulana Naushad Madani Hafizahullah. Subhanallah, one of the main causes of diseases, that is something that we should know, actually on a general basis, Sayyidi, we should know what's good for us, what's not good for us.
Definitely.
Alhamdulillah, and hopefully you have benefited from that nasiha. And now, coming back to our topic of discussion, that was the journey of Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidi, after he went to Madina Munawwara.
Right.
And he was given this task, indication that this is going to be his life's mission, subhanAllah, to spread the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to give the true aqidah of Islam and Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and instill it in people's hearts, safeguard their iman, subhanAllah. And this is no easy feat.
Yes.
And he has achieved that, alhamdulillah, to a great degree, mashallah. And then after that, he had this desire when his sheikh, he told him that you need to go back home now. You spent a great amount of time here. You have left your mother, your children at home. Now they have rights upon you, and by right you should be going. Now here he is teaching the practical Sharia, subhanAllah. Theory, everyone can teach the theory, but right, practical is important, subhanAllah. His father, he instilled in him that you're learning the sciences, great sciences, alhamdulillah, Islamic sciences, but don't leave out your salah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know, don't become a dry mulvi, as yes, you say, mullah ya khushk. And we should be actually that type of people that don't only learn the theory, but must do the practical as well. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to tread on this beautiful path of Islam and Iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. And Sayyidi, although he had become a great scholar of Islam, he still wouldn't, you know, fight with people,
yes,
over matters, scholarly matters, as some people do. And he actually used to say that, "Ee kare mahabbat ast, ara ki mahabbat nabashad che kar kunad." This is the work of love,
subhanAllah,
spreading the ilm and the deen. Even if you have disagreements with right, others, you should do it with love and affection. You don't have personal differences with people, but it is based on the theory and the logic, and, you know, based on knowledgeable arguments, etc.
Yes.
So even so, it must be done with love.
Yes.
SubhanAllah. If you want to have your disagreements, you can have, but with love and affection. So he says that "E kare mahabbat ast, ara ki mahabbat nabashad che kar kunad." That this is the work of love, and he who does not have love and compassion, what work can a person do?
Allah,
subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So that was the style and the way of Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And our ulama, alhamdulillah, they are the great people, that they have this compassion.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to educate you, they do it compassionately.
That too, with wisdom.
Yes. So this is how you teach, with love and compassion.
Yes.
And mashallah, Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala also taught us this lesson. And now he had this desire, after he completed his studies, he had this desire to visit Baghdad Sharif on his way back
right,
from Haram Sharif. He would go to Baghdad Sharif, visit the Rawdah Mubarakah of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, because he was a true devotee of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahimahullah. And the Shaykh said, you should actually head home straight, because this is the matter of Sharia. And then he would still not want to give up the desire of visiting the Baghdad Sharif. He said, but Baghdad Sharif is on my way back home.
Right.
I can go there, and that via that route I can go home. Subhanallah. And Sheikh said to him, do you think that, you know, just spending there 40 days in the court of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala would be enough for you? What if you go there and want to stay longer? Subhanallah. He knew that this is bound to happen. And ultimately, alhamdulillah, he gave him the kurta of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullah ta'ala as a gift to cool his heart. Alhamdulillah. And he came back home. Ultimately, he came back to India, alhamdulillah. And as you've mentioned, after he came back, he started his mission of spreading the Mubarak teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and safeguarding the deen of Islam, people's iman, and at the same time fighting with the enemies of Islam.
Subhanallah. Umar Asab, he, Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dalvi rahimahullah, he propagated the message of Islam, you know, in a very beautiful way. First of all, we have to, you know, one is propagating the message of Islam, and the second thing is, how is one's conduct? You know, if we have to look at it in today's time, right? We see a person may have knowledge, right? A person may be propagating Islam, but the person's conduct may not be good, or his character may not be good, you know, or if someone tells him something to hurt his feelings or insults him in any way, then he gets angry and fights back at the person. This, you know, if we look at those who are not Muslims, and if they see a person who is a Muslim carrying out himself in this way, then what will they think about Islam?
Allah.
You know, and that is why Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dalvi rahimahullah, he propagated Islam in such a way that he had the knowledge. On top of that, he implemented what he knew, and his conduct was in accordance with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something very, very important for us to have, because if someone has to look at us, right, if a non-Muslim has to look at us and our conduct is in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing that they are looking at is our appearance.
Yes, definitely.
How are we dressed? How is our character? How are we carrying out ourselves? That's the first thing that they look at. And if they see otherwise, where your dressing is not appropriate, where your conduct is not appropriate, then they would get the wrong impression about Islam, because Islam, you know, encourages us and motivates us not to be angry, you know, not to find faults in others, not to insult others, not to hurt the feelings of others, to always be loving towards each other and to take good care of each other. So this is what Islam encourages us to do. So if we carry out ourselves in this way, if we want to propagate Islam just by our appearance, this is one way of us propagating the message of Islam. And this is exactly what was done by Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dalvi rahimahullah.
Basically what he had here and here,
yes,
he applied it outwardly as well, and
definitely
it used to show in his personality.
Yes,
subhanallah.
It wasn't always, you know, the outer appearance, but rather he purified and cleansed his heart as well. You know, he made sure that his inner self must also be beautiful, like how his outer self is beautiful. And this is where we find, you know, some people take it the wrong way, that if the outer appearance is okay, and if I'm wearing a neat kurta, a nice turban, and if the heart is not right, then a person may think that, you know, I'm pious, mashallah.
Islam encourages the inside-out approach.
Exactly, exactly.
First, the iman.
Mm-hmm.
And that iman encourages you to 100%. Show its alhamdulillah signs upon you,
yes,
outwardly as well. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam we have, it must show outwardly.
Definitely.
First it reaches the heart, and then from the heart it goes to the rest of the body parts, and it shows outwardly in our character. Subhanallah.
Yes.
And in this way, there's a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa la ila amwalikum. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وعمالكم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He does not look at your faces, meaning right. your appearance, your image, outer image. And he does not look at your wealth, how much wealth you have, but he looks at your heart and your actions. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, he taught to make his interior as well as his exterior in accordance with the beautiful teachings of Islam.
Subhanallah.
And that is the best of both worlds. Yes. Subhanallah. And mashallah, Shaykh Abdullah Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sayyidi, again I would come back to his upbringing.
Right.
That it was such deep rooted. And he was very proud of his upbringing that his father gave him. And do we know that he was the murid of his father?
Allah.
Subhanallah. He took bay'ah, spiritual silsila.
Right.
By his father, subhanallah. And then he says, what roles did his father play in his life? And this is very beautiful. And we must try to establish this sort of connection with our children.
Absolutely.
He says that, walidamra barman haqqe pedari wa ustadi wa dosti wa piri jamast. That my father, for me, he is my spiritual guide, subhanallah. He is my father figure. He is my teacher. And he is my friend, subhanallah.
Allah.
His father meant so much to him. And we should also look at our father and take inspiration from there. And we must make it such for our children that they must draw these inspirations from us.
Yes.
We must pass down these teachings, subhanallah.
And also, most importantly is, you know, we should make it such to our children that they look up to us as their role models. You know, if they want to know anything, if they want to learn anything, then they should look up to their parents, they should look up to their fathers, to their mothers as their own models. If they want to learn the Holy Quran, how to recite the Holy Quran, then the first place they need to go to, they should go to, is their parents. And that means that the parents must have knowledge of how to recite the Holy Quran, for example, right? And must have the fundamental knowledge of Islam. Then this can be passed down to them. And in this way, inshallah, you would see that the child will grow to be very upright. You know, the child would not go around the bush or, you know, go zigzag, etc. The child would be straight. And in his conduct will be in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such. Ameen bijahin nabiyil amin. Sayyidi, the time has actually come to an end now.
Right.
To ourselves. And we haven't discussed a very crucial part of his beautiful services towards Islam and Muslimin and mankind. Subhanallah, he had left so much of valuable treasures in terms of his writing. Subhanallah. Very quickly, he has done the works of hadith, subhanallah, to spread the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has written a commentary on the famous book Mishkatul Masabih.
Subhanallah.
And not one, two commentaries. One he has written in Persian, in Farsi language, that was the language of the masses at the time.
Right.
In his time, people would speak Farsi fluently. And this was the language of Awam. So for general masses, he wanted to give them an understanding of the meaning of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he wrote Ashiatul Lamaat, or Ashiatul Lamaat, as we pronounce it, alhamdulillah. And after that, he wrote another commentary of Mishkat Sharif. And that was in Arabic now, in two volumes, that is. And that he wrote the discussions that wasn't suitable for the general masses. That was very tough kind of discussion and intricate matters related to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for that he wrote Lamaatul Tanqih fi Sharhi Mishkatil Masabih. Alhamdulillah, he had written 40, subhanallah, to teach at least everyone should memorize some amount of ahadith, at least 40 ahadith. And we have been encouraged to learn at least 40 ahadith in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had also written the principles of the knowledge of hadith, mashallah. And he had written a beautiful book that should tell us about the virtues of different months, Ma Thabata Bi Sunnah, subhanallah. And these are some of his famous works. And one work I enjoy and I read some from time to time is Takmilul Iman,
Subhanallah. Subhanallah, what a beautiful book.
In a very simple way, Alhamdulillah, he put the intricate matters of the aqaid of Islam. If we want to rectify our aqaid and want to know a bit of detail our Islamic beliefs, then one should read that book, Subhanallah. Great work. And mashallah, he also wrote on the biography of the Rijal, meaning those narrators of hadith, right, in Asma'ul Rijal. And the book that he wrote, mashallah, is Al-Ikmal Fi Asma'ul Rijal. Mm-hmm. And then he has also written, mashallah, a great book on the sanctity of the city of Madinah Munawwara, Jazbul Qulub, Subhanallah. Yes. I know Mawlana Sahib is a fond of that beautiful piece of work, mashallah.
You know, Mawlana Sahib, it's such a beautiful book that, you know, when you read that, you realize and understand what was the history of Madinatul Munawwara. And your love would only grow more and more for the beloved city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And mashallah, last but not the least, he has written Akhbarul Akhyar, mashallah, great work. On the biography of the pious predecessors, subhanAllah. So many biographies of our pious predecessors can be traced back to this monumental work that he has done, mashallah, to inculcate the love for our pious predecessors, to follow into their footsteps, to learn their teachings, mashallah. Sayyidi, the time is of the essence always, and now we have come right to the end, and we hope that you've learned something today from this great personality of Islam, about him, his teachings, his great code of conduct that Mawsab has mentioned. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lameen. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu al Habib.
Sallallahu
ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.